Let us pray. Almighty God, whose Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, is the light of the world, grant that your people, illumined by your word and sacraments, may shine with the radiance of Christ's glory, that he may be known, worshipped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. In the movies, there are main actors, and then there are supporting actors. Supporting actors, if they play their roles well, shed even more light upon the main actors. I remember this being said once by Ethan Hawke regarding his supporting role playing alongside Denzel Washington. But in many a movie, the film doesn't begin with the main character taking center stage. There's some kind of introduction with the supporting character, and usually, when the main protagonist eventually emerges, there's some kind of hook that draws us in to the character. Either some kind of amazing feat, or some witty comeback, or something comical. If we look at the beginning of John's Gospel, like the opening of a movie, we get the supporting role of John the Baptist. He's all about bearing witness to the Messiah who is to come. He's all about giving testimony to the one on whom the Spirit rests. But when the main actor takes center stage, there is only silence. With the other gospel accounts, we get words from Jesus. We get words from him. And we get a battle scene that follows with the devil in the desert. But not so with John. There is only silence from Jesus. And the sound of this silence is deafening. You see, long before Simon and Garfunkel, the Apostle John knew the sound of silence. The Apostle John is doing some great storytelling here, some great writing here. All of our eyes are on Jesus. They're all focused and honed in on him, but the voice speaking isn't Jesus' voice. It's John the Baptist. And what does the Baptist say? Look, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But whoa. Let's slow down here a bit. What does the Baptist mean here? What does the Baptist mean here calling Jesus the Lamb of God? What's John getting at here at the onslaught of his gospel? Is there a connection to Genesis 22, verse 8, where Abraham says to his son Isaac that the Lord will provide a lamb for a sacrifice? Is the lamb imagery a connection to the Passover, the pinnacle of Jewish celebration? What about the servant song of Isaiah 53? Verse 7 of Isaiah 53 says this: he never said a word. He never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. The Apostle John gives us a striking portrait of Jesus as the silent Lamb of God. The sacrifice by which we are saved from our sins, saved from our failures at loving God, saved from our failures at loving one another. But in Jesus, the Lamb of God, the stain of sin is removed in his sacrificial blood and his sacrificial death upon the hardwood of the cross. We are utterly cleansed and completely purified by the shedding of this blood. Because of him and the incredible gift that he is, we are forgiven. Jesus died in our place. So the story has started. Jesus has taken center stage. The main actor has made his appearance. But it is the supporting actor that continues talking, bearing witness to the main event. And to the audience, we are meant to behold this lamb, the silent lamb that takes away the sin of the world. So let us then learn how to behold him this morning. If you'd like to follow along, we'll be beginning at John chapter 1, verse 29, found on page 637. John the Baptist tells us to behold Jesus twice. He is to bear witness to Jesus the Messiah, the chosen and anointed one. He understands his role pretty clearly, I think. He's the ultimate role player. You know, I've been a Spurs fan for a very long time now. I never was a huge basketball guy growing up, but there's something about living here in San Antonio. It's a Spurs culture, for sure. And when I moved here, I grew to love basketball. And one of the incredible things about the Spurs is that they develop their role players. These guys understand precisely what's expected of them and what they have to do. They're there to support the key guys. They're there to execute a specific function. John the Baptist knew who he was. He knew what his role was. He says of himself earlier on in the chapter, "I am a voice shouting in the wilderness, clear the way for the Lord's coming." So when Jesus does come forth, John is bearing testimony about who Jesus is. And the first time he tells people to behold Jesus, the Lamb of God, notice he's keyed in on the importance of the Holy Spirit resting on Jesus. Well, how do we know this? Because he talks about it three times. We got to pay attention. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon a particular person at a particular place at a particular time. The Spirit would come upon a king or a judge or a prophet, but only for a limited time only. Not so with Jesus. John says that he saw the Spirit rest and remain upon him. This anointing was not for a limited time only, such as in the Old Testament. This anointing was a lasting one, a permanent one. This anointing was the anointing for the chosen one, the Messiah promised of old. And Jesus, this Lamb of God, on whom the Spirit rests, will immerse others in the Holy Spirit. So something extraordinarily wondrous is going down here. A new age has dawned. A new age has come. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Well, after John testifies about Jesus the first time, he's back at it the next day. He doesn't rest, does he? John is standing with two of his disciples, and Jesus just happens to be walking by. John declares, "Look, there's the Lamb of God." These two apprentices leave John, and they follow the Lamb. They follow not having heard him speak. They follow not knowing where he's going to. Although with the imagery of the Lamb, we most certainly do. Jesus is heading to the cross, but they don't know that. All they know is what John has spoken. They heard the supporting actor. So they followed the Lamb, who is the main event. Well, as we bridge this text with our own day and age, what do we behold from day to day? In our own lives, are we the main event? What does the message of our lives bear witness to? Are we just pointing to ourselves? Look at me, this amazing meal I had. Facebook.
Yeah.
My point is, our lives are meant to bear witness to the Lamb of God, and we are to follow him no matter where he goes. No matter where he goes, no matter where he leads us to. So these two guys in our story go after Jesus, and Jesus looks back, and he says, "What do you want? What do you want?" And there it is. Ta-da! The first words. It's really important. It's really key here. The first words of Jesus. What do you want? The silent Lamb has spoken. The main actor has uttered his first words. And this is just as timely now as it was then on that day. His first words in John's gospel are a question. What do you want? What do you want? Is it truly the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus? The two disciples ask, where are you staying? Jesus says, come and see. Come and see? What's that all about? In other words, follow me. It is the very language of discipleship. Follow you, Jesus, but where? Come and see. The silent Lamb of God has spoken. He's asked a very important question. What do you want? If you want him, follow after him. But in this, what do we grasp about being disciples, about being followers of Jesus? Well, we see in John the Baptist the importance of bearing witness. John spoke about Jesus. Do we? Do we shrink away from this? Are we afraid of talking about him? I preached on this last week. We are called to go, go, go. Be heralds of this amazing good news. The message of Jesus is precisely that, my friends. It is a message. It is to be shared. It is to be spoken. It is to be proclaimed and announced and delivered. It is good, good news, and it is true news. You know, within the last year, we heard all about this phenomenon, fake news, right? It was on social media. It was in online outlets. It was exhausting trying to discern what was indeed real and what was propaganda. And I got several people whom I know very well and love very well relating fake news in their conversations to me. And they got so passionate about this. They got so passionate about fake news. It was fake. And they were excited about it. It was fake. The gospel is the truest message of all. So true that when the world comes into play here, it puts full court press on trying to stop the message. Are you telling others to behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world? Are you willing to bear witness to Jesus in this dark age? We also learn from our passage today that the gospel has to be embodied in our very lives. We know that following Jesus is costly, right? It means denying ourselves, picking up our own cross, and following after him. Many a person professes Jesus as Lord. They're willing to talk the talk. But if we peek into their lives, if we unveil this curtain, what do we see? Is there a denial of self? Where's the cross in their lives? Where's the pursuit of Jesus? And it used to be that we heard people talk about this a lot more, but things are changing very rapidly in our culture. All the cultural studies and data reveal that nominal Christianity is fading fast. What do I mean by that? Well, it used to be in the past that people would say, I'm Christian, because they felt some kind of social pressure to say that they were Christian, or that there was some kind of advantage to say, yeah, Jesus, that is fading. So what we have here then is those who actually not just talk the talk, but walk the walk, and those who don't. Disciples bear witness to Jesus in both word and deed, in both talk and walk. But do you think the two guys going after Jesus in our story knew what they were getting into? I don't think they had a clue, to be honest. I used to think of come and see as just this really nice, elusive invitation. Come and see. And it is. It is. Come and see. But come and see implies a lot more. It implies a participation. Come and see. Come and see. A lot of effort on the part of the one following the main actor. It requires faith and trust. It requires a continual response because discipleship is a journey. You don't just get to a place, hey, I came and I saw and I'm done. That's not how it happens. It's a journey. come and see. Continuous. It requires knowing our roles as the supporting cast, as the supporting actors. The supporting cast that gets our cues from the one whom all eyes are on. The one whom the entire world is to behold, this Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This morning, what do you want? What do you want? Do you want the life of Jesus? You will have to deny your very own flesh, your desires. You will have to pick up your cross. And you will have to bear witness to him in both word and deed. To him, bear witness to him and not yourself. This is not some seven ways to become a better you type of thing. This is challenging stuff. It's challenging. It's challenging to come to the realization, and it really is for all of us, to come to the realization that it's not about us. What's that opening line of purpose-driven life? It's not about you. Why do you think that's so surprising to people? Why that's the first page of the book? Because we do think it's about us. But it's not. It's about Jesus. Simply put, the message of our lives should shout out. We could take a cue here from John the Baptist. Shout out, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Does the message of your life say this? Does the message of my life say this? Do you want the life of Jesus? Jesus said, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you." Every Sunday as we come to the Lord's table, the bread, the wine are lifted up and these words are said three times. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Three times. The first two times the response is this: have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us. We know that we haven't always put Jesus first. We know in the pride of our hearts that sometimes we think that we are the main actor instead of the supporting cast. But the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, our Lord Jesus, covers us, covers every sin. And the third time the response is, grant us your peace, his perfect peace. The sacrifice of the Lamb has made peace between God and us. And we bear witness to this reality when we come to this table and we eat Jesus' flesh and drink his blood in the bread and the wine. We receive these holy tokens and behold the Lamb of God in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Do you want the life of Jesus? Then come to his table and behold him and make the journey of discipleship. It doesn't end here at his table. It's only just begun. Come and see forever. Let us pray. Almighty God, in Christ you make all things new. Transform the poverty of our nature by the riches of your grace. And in the renewal of our lives, make known your heavenly glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.